Track 8, Normal for Norfolk. We've heard about cats from Sam Elmhurst in the past. This month she's here again, but with a very different tale, about her adventures at Gressonhall Farm. Go ahead, Sam.
It's a hot bank holiday weekend in 2019, and the Friday before is exciting because I'm ironing. Well, it's the only time I ever get excited about this particular chore because I'm ironing my women's Land Army uniform. Now, this comprises of a pair of fawn trousers, three sizes too big, and a fawn short sleeve blouse, both charity shop finds. The trousers are gathered and secured at the waist with a leather belt. Over the knee, thick brown woolly socks from the army surplus and a dark green V-necked pullover from Marks and Sparks are also in the pile to iron, along with the green WLA tie and armband. The only things that don't need ironing are the khaki-coloured felt Gurkha hat and the short brown leather lace-up riding boots and gloves. This will be my 9th year as a Gressonhall Land Girl. I cast an approving glance at the neat clothes hanging there just waiting to be worn. This is what the WLA would call full official kit. The usual everyday wear on the farm would see the girls in dungarees and gumboots, but at the village at war weekend, there is a real sense of occasion. I scrutinise my efforts more closely now. Does it pass muster? And, more importantly, would Lady Denham have approved of my efforts? Now, you may have heard of Lady Denham because it was she who founded the WI, chairing its National Federation for over 30 years. But did you know that it was the WI that encouraged rural women to become involved in their local community by growing and preserving of food during a period when there were significant concerns for food supplies? Being a hands-on director in all sorts of ways, she appreciated how important the uniform was to the identity of the WLA and is said to have commissioned a top Paris designer, Charles Frederick Worth, to design the now iconic short WLA greatcoat. She wanted to create a uniform which was both practical and one that women would feel proud of wearing. The following morning, I'm eager to get out of bed and get ready, well aware that proper wartime land girls would have already been at work by the time I'm stirring. Throwing open the curtains, I'm greeted with blue skies and sunshine despite the early hour, this particular Orcs Bank holiday being one of the hottest on record. And after a shower and feeding some, apparently, starving cats, cats who haven't eaten since 1899, according to their yowls, it's time to don on my beautifully pressed uniform. I still have rags in my hair, but these will come out last once everything else is done. And in the background, I've got some 1940s music playing, and I'm feeling very in the mood, thanks to Glenn Miller and his orchestra. There's nothing like hearing the distinctive sax introduction, like a fanfare, of this wonderful piece of music to put a spring in your step while you get ready to go back in time. It's become quite a ritual to listen to this music while getting ready. I've allowed plenty of time to get ready and devote the next hour to hair and makeup. Now, this may seem like a generous dollop of time, but believe me, it's got to be just right. Vintage with a bit of artistic license. In May 1941, the Daily Mirror advertised Miner's Liquid Makeup, which was specifically aimed at land girls. The incredibly outdated advertising copy, with a charming illustration to go with it, ran as follows. Tractors are tricky till you get the hang of them, and this pretty land girl has just bowled over a wall. But she won't get into trouble with the instructor, because she's bowled him over too, in quite a different sense. You see, she's wise. She uses Miner's Liquid Makeup, the amazing, complete wartime makeup in a bottle. You just smooth it on in the morning, and it stays matte, fragrant, delicately tinted, whatever happens. Heat, cold, wind, rain, air raids, kisses. Nothing can disturb this miracle makeup. And now it's time to see if the saying, no pain, no gain, is true. Actually, it always is, because as the hair is uncurled from each rag, the transformation is incredible, and the bruised scalp and interrupted sleep has been worth it. The tight curls are gently teased through with my fingers, and then for the ultimate 40s look, the fringes rolled up and outwards into a sort of quiff, and the hair at the sides is scooped back from the face and held in place with combs. Now, this is the way I cheat when trying to form the classic Betty Grable victory roll either side. And no amount of practice has ever seen me get these right. It's rags and combs that always save the day. Well, that and a very generous coating of extra, extra strong, hard as rock, sets like concrete hairspray. The pièce de résistance is, of course, the hat. Now, when I bought it from eBay, it arrived plain as you like, but with the addition of a narrow dark green ribbon around it and its smart WLA badge depicting a wheat sheaf pinned to it, this tops, quite literally, the uniform. You may well wonder how a hat could stay on such coiled and quiffed hair. Well, it's all down to a trusty but deadly-looking hat pin and grim determination. Back to the mirror for the final appraisal, and now I just don't recognise myself. Well, I certainly don't look like I belong in these surroundings anymore. And suddenly the doorbell rings, and it's my bestie Julie, who is my fellow land girl when we go back in time to Gresson Hall. And she looks just like I do, dressed in identical kit. We both giggle like schoolgirls in excitement and anticipation of what the day will bring as we get into the car, about to embark on another land girl adventure at Gresson Hall's Village at War. Britain is part
of you. Thank you, Sam. We look forward to part two of the Gresson Hall adventure in the August edition of Just Talk.